Once there was a father whose son suffered violent seizures. In desperation, the man brought his child to the disciples of a great teacher whose name was Jesus, but they couldn't help him. And so the man took his son to Jesus himself and said, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Jesus replied, "Everything is possible for him who believes." The man pleaded, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Jesus helped the father overcome his disbelief and healed the man's son right before his eyes. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we trust Jesus and champion the ideals of faith, family, and freedom. Check us out at www.ccu.edu.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. It is good getting up music, though, on a Sunday morning, right?
That's right.
You're listening to Chuck King and Biff Gore sitting in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell on You Get the Blessing. We have in studio with us today Tricia and Brian Halsey, and they've got an exciting story to tell us about. First of all, just tell us about your backgrounds and what you do.
First of all, thank you so much for having us. So I work a lot in business. I work with a for-profit company doing content development and delivery, but we also run, Brian and I run, a nonprofit called the Big Idea Project.
And I also, with running the Big Idea Project, I am a teacher at Columbine High School, and I've taught there for the last 9 years. It's my ninth year there.
What do you teach, Brian?
I teach business and marketing classes.
Awesome.
A lot of real-world stuff, a lot of fun.
You are truly a saint. The people who are in our public schools today making a difference in our kids' lives are huge. I know that that your organization, which you're going to tell us more about in a minute, is not a specifically Christian organization, but you are Christians, and that's part of the motivation behind what you do. So give us a little bit of information about the genesis of this and how it got started.
Well, the project, the Big Idea Project, really started through a leadership class. I teach a business leadership class at Columbine, and I actually developed it about 5 years ago. While actually Tricia was going through seminary, Denver Seminary, she was going through a leadership program there, and she was reading all these leadership books, and me being the nerd that I am, I decided to read along with her, and I just kept reading a lot of books, and I read a book by Dr. Henry Cloud called Integrity.
So you did all the work and you didn't get the ticket?
And so, yeah, exactly. It's better to get it up here, you know, in the mind. So,
that's right.
So I read Dr. Henry Cloud's Integrity book, and I just felt like, hey, this has got to be told to young people. And so I implemented it in the business leadership class and needed a hands-on project. And basically the Big Idea Project stemmed from that conversations that Tricia and I had regarding how to apply leadership in the context of a classroom setting.
Tricia, you have a master's from Denver Seminary?
Yeah, I have a master's in leadership.
And you work in the business world?
Yes.
What was your educational background before you got your master's degree?
It was an English degree at Pepperdine.
And how do you use those in the business world, and how did you get into the business world?
Well, surprisingly, you wouldn't think an English degree would go very far. No one
actually
knows what to do with it.
as a college professor, I have to tell you, I wish some of my students would take a little more English.
Yes, that's exactly it. So everywhere I've landed, I'm writing. I'm writing, I'm doing communications, I do a lot of product development, and God just has me going into companies that need building. So I think of myself, I'm a builder, and I join up with leaders who have a great idea but have no idea what to do with it, and I help them build infrastructure and build product, build program, and then implement. And it's been really interesting how God has prepared us for such a time as this, for Big Idea Project, because all of those skills, he said, okay, now it's time for you to build something. So Brian and I get to build together.
Well, I really appreciate having you both on the show today. And one of the things that really moves my heart is education. you both work, I mean, you work at a school that had one of the most devastating tragedies in America. And what birthed out of that was this incredible big idea. What is the big idea? And I do think that we have to be crafty, like the world. I mean, when the world wants to infiltrate our thoughts and our thinking, they dumb down what they do. And I think it's neat that we get to be light and salt and do it in a way that we won't get kicked out. You know, we don't put up a wall right off the bat and say, yes, we're a Christian organization and we're coming into your school to take it over. No, we're going to be salt and light by being there for these kids. And then we will introduce them to the Lord. Or how does that work? Does that, I mean...
Well, the thing is, truth is truth is truth.
Amen.
You know? So we go in and we teach them the whole crux of the Big Idea Project is we are out to change the leadership trajectory of our nation because we are in a leadership crisis. And the only way that we're going to do that is by developing generous leaders. So we call it generous leadership. It's different than every other leadership style out there, and a lot of people kind of default to servant leadership.
Right.
And servant leadership is still kind of a style that a lot of leaders use. And the difference is generous leadership is a heart change. It's a paradigm shift. It's leading for another person's sake. It's kind of the Nelson Mandela leading from behind idea. And so we're going into schools and we're teaching these kids how to become generous leaders. And the first step to do that is getting these kids outside of themselves. It's very much a me-first, selfish generation. They're on their social media. They don't even know how to have communication with each other sometimes. And what we do is we go in and we show them these are some needs that are going on around the world, and they start to care. And then beyond that, we give them the skills and the opportunity to do something about them. So, and then in the process, they come out of the other side and say, we can make a difference. We can start things and we can be generous leaders. And you can only imagine where our country will be if we can have cities and schools full of these generous leaders, people who, I like to say, generous leaders see more potential in the people who are following them than they see in themselves, than that those followers see in themselves. And so a generous leader is a student of people and is a lifter of people and empower. And the whole crux of it is really that generous leaders want to see people become all that God has created them to be.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the term servant leadership, and it's become quite a buzzword in the secular world. And it's fascinating to me because people throw the term around and have no idea what the real concept of servant leadership is, as it was modeled by Christ. And the principle you're teaching is a very deep Christian principle, and thinking of oneself less than others is what leadership is really all about. And we don't see that much anymore.
Yeah.
And you're right, this particular generation is the me generation. It's the trophy generation. It's all about what do I get out of doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So give us an idea how the program works. What do you do on a weekly basis, daily basis?
So the project is in high schools, and at the beginning of the year, students were challenged with the idea of finding a need in society, doing something about it, and impacting people, whether that's one person, 100, 1,000, whatever that might be. And through that semester, they develop some of these leadership skills. They get a better understanding of generous leadership. Learn to problem solve. But ultimately, they create a storytelling video. And that storytelling video allows them to share with the community, share with the world, really, the great things that they're doing. And then they present that storytelling video along with a live presentation to the community for a college scholarship at the end of the semester. So it's very unique in regards to a school project, a classroom project that offers a college scholarship, that offers the ability to get outside the classroom walls and to really impact the community, whether that's locally, domestically, or internationally. And so they're able to kind of get outside of the traditional classroom model.
How many schools are you in right now?
So currently this school year, we have 8 schools that we're working with here in Denver. So 2 years ago, we had 20 students that went through the project at Columbine. And this year, we'll have 350 kids that go through the project.
Wow.
So, and that's from 9 months of being incorporated. So before it was just a project, a Columbine.
Yeah.
And we haven't even been incorporated for a year.
That's amazing.
A lot of students making a difference.
Yeah. Are you in any inner city schools?
So DPS schools right now, we have South High School.
Nice.
Is the one is DPS. And then we'll also have Legend High School down in Parker and some Jefferson County schools and Valor Christian and Matchbuff school as well. So
how do you get into these schools?
Really, it's a grassroots effort. It's about getting the word out of what the project's all about. We really try to start with the educator because they're the ones that impact the students and are the ones going to implement the project. There's also reach out to the administrative level from districts and things like that. So really, it's how do we spread the word? How do we get more people, more educators involved with what the good stuff that's happening?
And quite honestly, we haven't even fully marketed or gone out yet. These are a lot of educators who Brian knew or knew through his business leadership connections or, a lot of people will come to our competitions and they're so impressed with what these students are doing. That's how we started to grow the first year. Three students were at Columbine's competition and they said, oh my goodness, look what these students are doing. I want to do this in my class. And so we grew from Columbine to four schools. And it was after that where we said, that was last year. We said, oh my, we better do something about this. We better incorporate and make it an organization.
So are you a 501c3 organization?
Yes.
You have a tax exemption. So if there are people out there with money burning a hole in their pocket, you could use it to do some good with, right?
That's right.
How do they get in touch with you?
You can go to our website, www.bigideaproject.org.
Okay.
And you can find places to donate there. And we'd love to connect with you and talk with you more about opportunities.
So if a parent hears about this and wants his or her student to get involved in this kind of program, how do they go about connecting?
So it's an interesting question. If the school does not have a project, talk to a teacher, find a way to get the project at your school. Ultimately we want to make it kind of a brand that young people want to attend and want to be a part of. And so ultimately, I mean, there's so much school choice that's out there that, if schools have this project going and the community is aware of it, you might drive some students, some families may go that direction. Ultimately, we want to see it in every school. So, if we can do that, then there's no reason for choice enrollment.
So I have two thoughts. The homeschooling movement has become pretty awesome. I mean, it is awesome, but it's growing and it's becoming larger and larger. And I know that there are programs for homeschooling kids where they actually network their resources and have sporting events. You have schools like Rock Solid, which is a homeschooling network of homeschoolers who come together for XYZ, and there's little cells of those all around. Do you see the project aspect of what you do being an impactor for leadership with those kids as well?
Yeah, we've been approached by different groups and a lot of youth groups and youth pastors.
That's awesome.
And absolutely, anybody can do it. It's just that when you're in a classroom, a teacher has a little more time. So if a youth group's going to do it, their youth leader needs to commit, 25 extra hours or whatever it's going to be to guide them through a semester-long project. So there's a little bit more of a commitment, but it's certainly open.
Can you just give me a hint of like what one of your projects is?
So last year, one of the winning teams from the schools was called the Backpack Project. They ended up going downtown and interacting with the homeless population. And instead of coming up with an idea of like, hey, this is what we're going to do for you, they actually asked the people down there that they interacted with and said, what do you need? What is it that we could help you with? And they said backpacks with some hygiene products and things like that. And so the students went back to their school and tried to do like a backpack drive. And they got a bunch of hygiene supplies and things like that donated to their cause. And then they went down and distributed those backpacks to those homeless people. And just the emotional attachment that they received rather than sending a check, you know, to a great organization, they're actually able to go down and impact those, you know, tangibly see the results. And that was a cool project they did.
And those kids heavily influenced our curriculum. So now written in the curriculum, part of the project is action research. So the kids can't presume to know what the solution is going to be. They need to go talk to people. If they're doing trafficking, they need to go to an organization who deals with trafficking victims and talk to them and get stories. And that's just another strategy to get these kids outside of themselves.
You know, it's I teach in a school of business at a university, and I'm always fascinated by the fact that people think that marketing is all about forcing somebody else to take on your product rather than going out and discovering what it is that they need.
Yeah.
That's marketing in its purest sense. So what a great project you have going. Let me ask you, is there a structured curriculum that you hand a notebook off to an instructor who's interested? Do they go through training?
Yes.
How does this work?
Yes, they do. They go through training and they get a turnkey curriculum. We're unique as a nonprofit because we are essentially a train the trainer. So our first line of market or whatever is our teachers. And that is so unique because and so impactful because that means that we have an exponential impact. So every teacher that we teach, one teacher now impacts 30, 60, 90 students, depending on how many classes, and then yearly. And so that's how we were able to increase from 20 kids to 350 in just a matter of, you know, a year and a half. So when teachers are interested, they come to the Big Idea Project and they have to pay to be certified. It's $400 and it's only a one-time certification fee. And then once they're certified, we give them their curriculum book, and it's such a simple curriculum. It's meant to go alongside pretty much any subject. We have geography teachers, government, diversity, leadership, marketing, careers. There's even a science teacher in Iowa who knows us and who's interested. So it's meant to go alongside of anything, and the teachers can adapt it to fit what they're trying to teach. So for our diversity class, the kids had to pick a diversity issue as their project. For marketing, a marketing teacher might say, focus on social media. And so they can teach what they're teaching in their class within the context of this learning experience.
Do you ever see this where you're actually placing, well, first of all, this is an extra period in school. That's,
no.
Oh,
okay. This is inside a normal class.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Are you getting support from administrators in doing that?
Yeah, so it's a supplemental project. And each, you know, there's a lot of autonomy in the classroom. You know, they have these standards you got to hit. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you're able to find a way to hit those standards. And a lot of schools and school districts are really looking for those, you know, authentic experiences where students get outside the classroom and develop these kind of leadership skills. And so this gives them an opportunity to have that turnkey type curriculum that allows them to do that. And so it just fits alongside. It's a project that as you're working through your content in your course, you also can do this as a project that really engages the kids and gets them involved outside of the classroom.
I'm guessing that engagement piece is a very important one. What my father used to refer to as book learning. A lot of students aren't heavy into book learning, but when you get into practical application, they really, really do to get engaged.
Yeah, there's one story. A couple years ago, there was a student named Natasha who didn't really like the high school scene, and she was not doing well. She's actually failing my class. And she got involved with the Big Idea Project. Her team actually kind of rallied around her idea of impacting the elementary school music programs. And so she kind of led this. She got more engaged in school. She started, she graduated, and they won the Big Idea Project. She won a scholarship. She came up to me at the end of the semester and said, thanks for the scholarship, but I'm not going to school. Sorry. You know, good luck with everything. Fast forward 2 months in August, she came back to my office and she said, is that scholarship still available? You know, can I take advantage of that? I think I'm going to go to Red Rocks and the community college. And I said, sure, here you go. And she started that. And now 2 years later, she graduated with an AA degree and she's now looking into a 4-year degree in marketing.
And another cool part of that story is she had peers in the audience that night when she presented. And 2 years after the project was over, some of those peers came to her and said, Natasha, I remember that you made a difference in high school, that you were doing this really cool project that gave back. Would you think about starting that up again so that we can do something to make a difference? Wow. And so she's contacted her teammates, who one is up in college in Seattle, and they're thinking about starting it up again. And so one of the main skills that these kids learn, they learn leadership, but they also learn entrepreneurial confidence, that they actually can make a difference. And there's one component we haven't even talked about, which is the whole business piece. So we're a bridge between businesses and education. And that's what's giving these kids these skills, because these business leaders come into the classroom and they mentor the kids through how to problem solve, how to write a business plan, how to implement, and how to present. And so these kids have these skills, and then this confidence at the end, that they really they keep doing their project, or they start new things.
I
want to talk more about that in a moment, but I want to mention
you are listening to You Get the Blessing with Biff Gore and Chuck King, and we're sitting in for Bob Belts and Bo Mitchell today, and we're having fun because we get to talk to Tricia and Brian of the Big Idea Program. And the word for the day, if I have to say anything, is you just gave me a new word today, entrepreneurial confidence. I like that.
That's a great word.
It is a great word.
Very important word. In this economy, I teach economics, and one of the things that I'm a huge believer that the real answer to our economic woes in this country is entrepreneurship. It's the engine that drives the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get these kids involved in entrepreneurship, we can solve a lot of our problems.
We sure can.
So tell us what you're doing to do that.
Well, the thing is, a lot of these entrepreneurship programs are kind of intimidating for kids. You think you have to be born an entrepreneur. Oh, I'm, you know, really comfortable with risk or something mm-hmm. like that. And so the kids just don't feel like that fits them. So they land in the, I feel like the Big Idea Project is a really good entry point. It's for everybody. And we'll help you, we'll guide you through these lessons. We'll give you a business mentor. We'll show you how to make a video. We'll show you how to speak in front of everybody. And in the end, the final product is, oh my goodness, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's also, you know, one of the things that that I think we don't realize until there aren't enough jobs out there, like in this last huge recession that we went through, is that you have to become really self-reliant in some instances. And by learning how to successfully fail sometimes, you learn how to succeed. And I really thank God for the Big Idea Project, because you guys are teaching people how to take failures and turn them into successes, and how to help other people at the same time. Where do you see your organization going in the next 5 years?
Well, we really want to expand. I mean, we want to make the Big Idea Project scalable across the state of Colorado. We want to build a good foundation here and then reach outside of the state line across the country. Within 5 years, we would love to be in multiple states. Eventually, we want to host a national competition. We have a state competition this year. Actually, it'll be right now it's May 16th, and it'll be in Denver area. We haven't had location determined yet, but eventually have a national competition where we really want the nation to see what the great things the young people are doing. Maybe with a full ride scholarship on the line, something where you know, ESPN picks it up and you know they say the national spelling bee, we got the Big Idea Project, and
oh shoot,
these are our future leaders.
That's right, they are.
What a great idea! Now, I'm sure that you can use help, and one of our goals, one of our goals on the You Get the Blessing program is to identify and empower people who are out there making a difference. How can we empower you? How can our listeners help in what you need?
Well, I think there's three things that we really could use the support of everyone listening. One is obviously donating. If you're able to do it individually or through your company, you know, talking with a company that wants to get involved at the high school level to give back to the young people that are growing as generous leaders. And then another opportunity is to talk about it and bring awareness, especially around the education. If you know any educators or administrators that would be interested in implementing this type of project, the more people that know about it, I think the more people that get excited about it. And then the third thing would be to come see an event. We'll have an event at Columbine High School, and we've been doing it for a little while, so it's a great event to see. That's going to be May 4th, And then we'll have a state competition as well, which will be May 16th. And on our website, you'll see some other schools that have other events as they're just getting going this year that you can check out if you're in the local community, and really just spread the word.
And how do they get a hold of you?
Our website is bigideaproject.org, and that is the best way to get a hold of us. And you can find contact information and everything on our website.
And if you don't find, if you can't remember that, you can always go to the KOA website, look for the You Get the Blessing link, and you'll be able to find information about the Big Idea Project. Now, at this point in time, it sounds like most of your work is being done at the high school level. Is that the long-term plan, or do you see driving this down to the younger ages?
We see a whole bunch of things spinning off from this. We have had STEM has been interested in the middle school, and it's not time yet. We're working on operational excellence, but when it's time, we're thinking about a curriculum for middle school. I mean, I've thought about camps for after high school that teach leadership through adventure, whatever it might be, but this generous leadership, it needs to take off. The kids need to become generous leaders. So.
I love that word, generous leadership. In 30 seconds, can you just kind of give a global picture of what global leadership looks like?
Generous leadership.
I mean, generous leadership. Yes.
generous leadership is the leader who leads other people for their sake. So it's me as a leader, knowing the people who follow me so well that I see more potential in them than they see in themselves, and I do everything that I can to lift them up, to equip them, to reach their full potential, and to be everything that God created them to be.
Wow.
So it is selfless.
I was
talking to a friend of mine about a particular football team who lost a big name team that lost a game, not the Broncos, but another team that lost a game this past weekend, a college team. And this guy's an alumni from there. And I said, so what happened? And he said, well, the problem is that the coach thinks leadership is all about yelling at people and he doesn't know how to lead people. Yeah. And you're out there trying to make a difference. And that's a huge thing. If you're a business person out there, an entrepreneur, and you want to make a difference in a kid's life and a difference in the world, this is a great program for you to be a part of. So give us the website one more time, Brian.
BigIdeaProject.org.
And we've really enjoyed having you on the air with us, and I hope that you'll continue the good work you're doing, and I hope that our listeners will be big supporters of what you do.
That's right. Thank you, guys.
And thanks for changing the world.